women have a unique role in creation. Women are the nurturers, the birth givers, the more spiritual of the genders. And Torah teaches that women have a special status. Join Mashi Lipska for the next hour as she expounds the Torah wisdom specific to women. Only on 101.9 High FM.
So good to be back with you, a good nerve Shabbos, hoping that people, by and large, were able to benefit from the break and ready to take on what's ahead. And of course, a short while ago, everybody was shouting Happy New Year. And Jewish people wonder, is this my new year? We had a new year a little while ago, didn't we? We had Rosh Hashanah, we had Yom Kippur, we had Sukkot, Simchat Torah, we had Chanukah. That fourth term is quite demanding, isn't it? Finishing school, tying up all the ends, big stuff. And of course, Chanukah. And people are coming back now from Plett, Cape Town, Balito, other places. And people are saying, New Year. Yes, new school year. But where to from here? What are we going to do? Thank God God has given us another minute, another day, another week, month, year. And the year does feel significant. It is a turning point. It is something new. When people say 2026, it sounds different than 2025 or 24 or 23. And as Jews, we need to ask ourselves, if God is giving me another moment, another hour, another day, week, month, year, why am I here? What's it all about? And of course, Chanukah, the message was growing light every night at another candle. Me, bring light? What's going on? Who am I? In truth, we can look at the Chumash that we just finished. We just finished 12 portions from Bereshit, the beginning, the creation, until Jacob and his family go down to Egypt. And we've encountered so much. Creation, the flood, the emergence of Avraham, Abraham, Sarah, these incredible personalities, and our forefathers. Our DNA is from them. In our veins courses the blood, the passion, the mission of these incredible, incredible people who made choices. Their lives were not smooth, but they made choices. They went to places that they were told to go, that they had no idea what they would find there. But wherever they went, there was one thing that they did, from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob and all their wives, and going down to Egypt. What was it all about? It was about bringing the purpose of creation to a completion. Yes, every single morning is an opportunity to start all over again. So creation. What is creation? Creation is to bring something into being that was never there before, because before God created the world, there was nothing except Hashem. And He made us the ones who would fulfill His dream and desire of what He wanted with this creation. God, who is the ultimate, had a plan. It wasn't random. His wisdom, is way beyond anything we can imagine even. And he created us as two parts, heaven and earth. We are meant to bring heaven down to earth, to bring and reveal God in creation. We need to fight to bring a synthesis, to bring it with light, with goodness. But we are overwhelmingly physical. But we need to strain against the physical. An amazing story is told of a chassid who went to visit his Rebbe. And he was someone who had lost all of his money. He was someone who supported his late brother's family. He was someone who was wealthy, and he had lost everything. And he came into the Rebbe on a private audience called the Yechidus, and he said, Rebbe, I need this. I'm only asking, I should be able to pay back the people. I'm only asking, I should be able to look after the people. And the Rebbe said a startling thing to him. He said, you have spoken and spoken about what you need. And he was really saying, all I would need is, I need a blessing. And the Rebbe said, but you have not mentioned what you are needed for. Why did God put you into this position? What is your mission? And please God, after this break, we will speak more about that.
You're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm Mashi Lipsker, a good nerve Shabbos. And we're gathering at the very beginning. We're coming back from holiday. We're back on the radio. We're getting ready for a new school year. And we are doing it together with a brand new Chumash, Parsha. Last week was the Parsha of Vayechi. We finished the book of Genesis, the book of Bereishit. And this week, we live with the book and the Parsha called Shmot, Shmois, the beginning of the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Moses. And before the break, we were saying that a certain great chassid and wealthy man came to pour his heart out, that he had lost everything, money he had borrowed, and how was he going to support his late brother's family and so on. And in a very interesting response, the Rebbe had said, everything you've said is what you need, but you haven't mentioned what you are needed for. Each one of us on a daily basis thinks, what do I need? I'm so hungry, I need to eat. I'm so tired, I need to sleep. I don't have enough money. I'm cold, I'm scared, I'm in pain. I got to do something to alleviate this discomfort. Amazingly, it's a partnership, because everything is from Hashem. And when Hashem sends me a challenge, in there is the greatness. When Hashem sends darkness, there's a great light inside. In fact, there's another time when a certain chassid came in and told the Rebbe what he needs. And the Rebbe said, you need sustenance for your family. Hashem has put you into this world with a mission. Do what Hashem wants of you, and He will provide all your needs. We're here for a reason. When we're missing something, when we're in pain, when we're hungry, when we're not feeling so nice, that too is from Hashem. And that too is a message. And just as we need to respond to our emails, to our WhatsApps, we need to respond to our God messages. And the way we feel things that happen in our lives, He's talking to us. He's putting us back on the path of, what are you doing here? What are you needed for? And from the very first portion in the Torah, which is 13 portions ago, Bereshit bara Elokim, God made this world that we should make it a dwelling place for him, that we should feel him and invite him in a place where we don't feel him, in the difficulty, in the challenge, in the pain. Angels have it easy. People have it hard. Angels see godliness. They see light. They see truth. But Hashem put us in a world of choices. Yeah, there are bad people. There are bad influences. We think they're our friends. There's bad neighbors. There's bad sicknesses. We're prone to jealousy, slander. There are liars. But there's a great goal. And all of this has been put into the world to help us prepare this world to be a palace for God. And the challenge is real. Life is an obstacle course. But Hashem has given us not just a uniform, but a suit of armor to protect us. But that suit of armor also is like vitamins that sensitize us, like exercise, like fresh air. The suit of armor may not be that easy to put on, but our suit of armor has been given to us. It's the Torah. It's its mitzvahs. It's prayer. And it's not easy to put on, especially if we haven't been putting it on. And when you get used to putting it on, it becomes a breath of fresh air. It becomes like muscles. So, in this week's parasha, the Jews are in Egypt. Egypt? What is Egypt? Am I in Egypt? Indeed, we are in Egypt, because the Hebrew word for Egypt is Meitzarim Mitzrayim, Meitzaru Gvul, limitation, narrowness, like Tzoras. But we are bidden to remember that we left Egypt. Every single day we have the six remembrances. In most Sidurim, it's six. And the first one is, remember the day that you left Egypt, in order that you remember this every day of your life. What does that mean? That means that life is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a limitation. It's going to squeeze us. It's going to not be simple. We're in Egypt, which means we're in a limited space, Meitzar, Gvul, and life is real, and we've got to do the work. Life is challenging, but it's important, and we are partners with Hashem, and we have strength because God created the world. He set us up in this. He didn't just create the world. He's recreating it all the time. Not just every circumstance, every happenstance, every meeting, every object, everything in nature and every change in nature, but he's creating the actual thing all the time. He's creating people, places, things, but not just he created me and that's it. He continues to recreate me at every second, to be next to me, to guide and direct me, and everything that's happening to me is a direct guidance from Hashem. It's a direct happening from Hashem. And we've got to go with the rules. We've got to go with the basic understanding that God is good. Everything comes from Hashem, and He is good, and that means everything is good. We don't have the eyes, we don't have the ears, we don't have the mind, we don't have the imagination to understand how, God forbid, these things like jealousy and these things like slander and these things like illness and bad friends and bad neighbors, how people can be bad. Now, people have a choice, but that we should be affected by it from the outside, that was Beshert. That comes from God at this moment because we need that particular challenge. That's going to be good for us. We can't stay stuck. But when it comes to us giving out to the world, we have to be very careful because we do have a choice. in this obstacle course called life. We also have parents, Abraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka. We have Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah. We also have a land. And from that land, that whole story of creation and the patriarchs, somehow Joseph is sold into Egypt. Didn't look good, but it was from the hand of Hashem. And particularly that story needs to give us incredible insight that everything that happens is for good. Personal good, collective good. If we don't see it now, there's a plan. Ultimately, it will be revealed. Hashem is directing everything. He's directing every aspect, every detail. Everything makes sense to him, unlike what it might look to me. To him, it's good because he is good and he does everything. And that's where something called bitachon, trust, comes in. When we have trust, when we accept this entire premise, then everything changes. But it's us who has to have the trust. Trust is an action which brings incredible blessing. It brings the revelation of the blessings that God wants to give us. Our minds very often challenge us, but our faith is the answer. Now we have something called trust and something called faith. Our emunah is something inside of us. It can never, ever be destroyed. We're born with it. It's a gift. It's an inheritance from the patriarchs, from the matriarchs. Yerushahi lanu me'avoteinu. The question is, we have to nurture that trust. We have to study that trust. We have to work with that trust. It's a muscle. But our faith is a gift from Hashem. We have it in our DNA. How do we bring that faith to the surface? We have to feed it with Torah and with mitzvahs. It's there. It's a gift from the patriarchs and matriarchs. We need to exercise it. We need to nurture it. We need to feed it. We need to bring it out. We got to live it. And we live it as trust. Our faith translates into trust when we exercise it. In life, nothing of lasting value ever comes easily. And doing this exercise of another mitzvah, studying some Torah, actually nurtures what's already inside. You know, the Torah is our guide. The last week's parsha is called Vayechi, and he lived. But wait a minute. It's the parsha in which he died. We have another parsha called the life of Sarah. It's all things that happened after she passed away. But Torah is called Torat Emet, truth. What is truth? Truth is something that will never change. Not at the beginning, not at the middle, not at the end. We may not see it, but it never changes. We are taught that Moshe Rabbeinu, our leader Moshe, is born in this parsha. And that Moshe, we're told, is truth. And his teachings are true. Moshe emes v'torosa emes. What is Moshe? Moshe is a true teacher. He's called Rabbeinu, our teacher. Moshe is a leader, true leader. Total devotion, puts himself on the line, no matter what happens to his people. He begs for his people. He sees their suffering. He stands up for his people. He voices his dissatisfaction with their suffering straight to Hashem. This is leadership. We need to learn from Moshe. When we see someone else suffering, we mustn't be quiet. We must pray for them. We must beg Hashem. Our own suffering, no. We can begin to understand if we understand that Hashem is good and we do ask him to make it easier. but it's to make us closer to him, to cry out to him. He's the true doctor. He is the one who sent it because he wants us closer to him. But we must never, ever see someone else suffering and not do something about it. First of all, to beg Hashem, not really first of all. First of all, to see what we can do to help. But we must never be say, oh, they deserve it and so on. This is real leadership. And Moshe, who is the true leader, brought down the Torah, which is true guidance. He's our teacher. He's a holy teacher. And we've had holy teachers throughout the generations who shine with an aspect of Moshe, with dedication, with devotion, with truth, with teaching us the Torah of truth. Teachers who've dedicated their lives to Torah, you can't fault them. They themselves have this relationship with Hashem, which is admirable. They are humble. They are self-effacing. They see the goodness in others, and they plead with Hashem for the other. They don't want to see anybody suffer. And Moshe is the one who brought us the Holy Torah. And when a holy teacher, when a holy rabbi really dedicates himself to the people, to the Torah, to truth, this is a gift. And when we consult with them, we get the guidance of the Torah that we need for our particular challenge. Hashem has planted a life of truth. Chaye emet, chaye olam natata bitochenu. And we need to live it. It's a life of truth. We know that we're living with limitations. It is in Egypt. It's exile. And we're told to remember our day of leaving exile every single day because we are in exile. And throughout the day, we have to leave this exile. And this week's parasha talks to us. It talks about descending. Yes, Jacob and his family 2 weeks ago came to Egypt. They descended into Egypt. And it is a story of difficulty, and it will continue. But it's a story of leadership, of hope, of guidance. We need to seek out our teachers who will show us that Hashem Echad, God is one, everything is from him. And let's not forget that the word Echad is 13. There are other wonderful words that are 13, like the word Ahava, love. Hashem is love. Hashem is pure love. And Hashem is Echad, one, which means there's nothing outside of him. No creation, no happening. Hashem Echad. You know, we could be saying a different word. Why are we saying God is one? There's a lot of things in this world. We see so much in creation, so much in our lives. What is the teaching that God is one? It's an amazing story that God is actually the unifying factor in everything, and everything traces itself back to the one God who is our love. It's an amazing thought. We don't say Hashem Yachid. Hashem is the unified one, the unique one. We say Hashem Echad. It is our job, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to manifest his oneness in the world. The world may look like many, but it's our job to see the oneness, to see the hand of God, to see the mission in absolutely everything.
You're listening to Conversations with Meshi only on 101.9 High FM.
A good nerve, Shabbos. Amashi Lipsker, and we're talking the Torah wisdom for now. And the central prayer in Yiddishkeit is the Shema. It ends with the word Echad, God is one. We don't say he's unique. We use the word one, and one is a number. And two is a number, and three is a number. But the word one comes to teach us so much. First of all, the numerical value has the same numerical value as the word Ahava, love. We don't see Hashem as yachid, unique, removed. He is echad. Everything in the world, everything we experience, it's all part of one, of him, of a unity. And it's up to us to reveal his oneness. You know, we encounter many people. They're tall, they're short, they're young, they're old. This one's artistic, that one's practical, this one's creative, that one is not. There are men, there are women. Yes. And everyone has a big soul and a unique mission from God. So there's a lot of people in this world, a lot of places, a lot of things. There's heaven and earth. There's the land and the sea and everything on the land, everything in the sea. Every day is different from the day before. So many colors, so many shades of colors, so many different ways, so many different ways to be you. And yet, it's all echad, one, from one Hashem, for one purpose, and we're reading the second book of the Torah. The Jews are now in Egypt, away from the Holy Land of Israel. Egypt is called the crucible, the furnace. It's called Kur HaBarzel. Why did we have to go through that refinement, that smelting pot? It was actually all part of preparing this world for Mashiach. And Moshe Rabbeinu was our leader. And from Egypt, he took us to Sinai. Egypt was to make us ready to connect with God at Sinai, to receive the Torah at Sinai. Exile and Exodus for the sake of Kabbalas HaTorah, for the sake of Matan Torah, because at Sinai we were given power. We were given purpose, but we were given the power, the recipe to purify ourselves and the world and to elevate the world. Purify and elevate ourselves. Purify and elevate the world. God created many people, tall and short, many places, many things, heaven and earth, the oceans and the dry land, so many creatures. Breshit bara. But he created man. And mankind, and particularly the Jewish nation, who have accepted the mission of godliness in this world. We are the ones entrusted, each one of us, with a personal mission, and together with a collective mission, to shine light and to bring Mashiach. Every person is actually called Olam Katan, a small world. So whatever God does in the big world echoes in each person at all times. Let's look at our day. Each new day. We wake up in the morning. We perform whatever we have to do from morning to evening. And then at night we entrust our neshama to Hashem. And the next day, something incredible happens. In the book of Lamentations, it says, Chadoshim labkorim rabo emunasecha. Every person is brand new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we're starting a new service every single morning. Nothing is old. It's not, oh, another day, I have to face all my bills, all my problems, all my moods. No. We are brand new every day. So the word, Happy New Year, is we are brand new every day. And the day begins with prayer and Torah study. Through them, what do we get? Through prayer, we will get strength to serve God. Through Torah study, we will get strength. You see, when we daven, when we pray, even if we say a few prayers and we think about God, we say the Modani, we say the Shema, we say more if we can, we make a blessing over food, we say grace after meals, even a small one. Through speaking to God, to doing what it's called avodah, prayer is service. We have to focus. The godly spirit is diffused throughout my entire being. That's what prayer does, and that's why we want to do it at the beginning of the day. And then we study some Torah. And Torah instructs us in the right course of action. Prayer and Torah study make us able to overcome evil, darkness, negativity. We can't do this by kind of a reflexive response. We have to do it with the right course of action, which Torah will guide us in. And then we are able to enact this service in the practical world. We've prayed, we've studied, we can go out into the practical world. And today is the yahrzeit of the great Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, Maimonides, the 20th day of the month of Tevis. And let's share what he says about this, that a person who leads his life in this way and gets up in the morning, sees it at a brand new world, a brand new day, Hashem's recreating him, recreating everything, directing everything, and everything is new. And then he prays to diffuse this godly power throughout his body, and he studies in order to see what does Torah instruct me in the right course of action, and then he goes out into the practical world. The Rambam says, the wisdom is manifest in his eating and drinking. That even the way I eat and drink reflects God's wisdom and reflects the wisdom that I have gleaned from the way that I set out my day. My worldly existence will be subordinated to my divine wisdom and God's divine wisdom, that Hashem Echad, God is always with me. And we start to see a unity, a oneness permeating everything in our lives. It permeates our physical actions. And we begin to work with Torah, according to Torah, in the world, because that way we are given the power to change the world, to bring the Mashiach. It gives each individual the power to refine his own life and environment and to make Mashiach a reality. Yes, it's a process. It started with creation. It went through the patriarchs. Everybody's working to bring Mashiach. We had to go through exile and redemption and revelation and exile again. And ultimately, there's the ultimate revelation with Mashiach. And no one is exempt. Each one of us is personally responsible for our own mission. And we're responsible to everything in creation, not to let it down, not to let him down, them down. Yes, we have a collective mission. And we need courage. It's not to see how daunting the task is, but to get to work and get it done. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Conversations with Mashi only on 101.9 High FM.
I'm Mashi Lipsker, and we're talking. The Jews have gone down into Egypt and been enslaved. There's a great leader, Moshe, who's compassionate and humble and caring, and that each one of us has a part to do. Now, how should we view the world? King Solomon says, it's a garden. The Rebbe says, it's a garden, not a jungle. Obviously, with all the rain, we're seeing a lot of weeds. How do we make the world into a garden? How do you make your garden beautiful? Pull out the weeds one by one. Plant flowers, more flowers. Water the flowers. Maybe you shouldn't. Hashem's watering us, thank God, very much. nurture the flowers. Be watchful, ever watchful for the weeds that are coming back. Our main job today is to plant flowers, to make this world a gan, a garden for Hashem. And when we plant flowers, goodness, kindness, beauty, light, a smile, it spreads, it blossoms, it grows, and it fills the world with color, with fragrance, with brightness, because it's actually revealing what the world really is. The world is a garden for God. And Moshe Rabbeinu, just like the patriarchs who trod a path, Moshe Rabbeinu, the seventh from the patriarchs, is called the Redeemer. In fact, we're told he's the first and the last Redeemer. He delivered us from Egypt. He gave us the Torah. But through his Torah, we will bring the Mashiach. Torah's Moshe. And when Mashiach comes, Mashiach will be teaching Torah to everyone. We desperately need to do our part. So what if you say, I don't know how to do this. Life is so hard. I'm going to share a story. There was a businessman from London who was facing a financial crisis. And anyone who's ever had things on their mind, they wake up with it, they go to sleep with it. And he came to the Rebbe for counsel and blessing. And he said to the Rebbe, I had hoped to meet under different circumstances. And then he hands the Rebbe several papers outlining his business problems. The Rebbe reads through the report and gives the man some practical advice. And then he turns the conversation to spiritual matters. And the Rebbe asked him, do you know what emuna is? Yes, said the man, it's faith in God. And the Rebbe said, do you know the difference between emuna, faith, and bitachon, trust? The man said, no. So the Rebbe said, allow me to explain. Trust is not simply a higher form of faith. It's something quite different. When a person with faith is confronted with a problem, he believes God will help him overcome it, but it's a problem. But a person with trust doesn't see his difficulties as problems. They're not problems in the first place, because he trusts that Hashem does not send problems, only challenges. Am I a believer? Do I believe? If I really believe, I don't see obstacles, I see opportunities. That's our work. Our work is to constantly lift ourselves up from seeing things as oy vey, and rather seeing things as okay. Knowing that Hashem is there serving it to us, if we could see it, we would see it's on a silver platter. In these times, our challenge is perspective. How do I view the times we are in? As a problem or as a perspective? So we had 7th of October. And do you think Bibi has an easy job? When in the world did a politician ever respond the way he's responding? He's responding with Torah guidance. It's so hard to do this. Jews are not bloodthirsty, God forbid, ever. We never want to hurt anyone, ever, ever, let alone kill somebody. But it's an opportunity to bring lasting peace, so you got to gird your loins and you got to pray to God for strength. The Rebbe long spoke that according to Torah, there is a protocol as to how to respond to everything. And in this week's parsha, just look at the name of the parsha, Ve'elish Shmois, and these are the names. My name distinguishes me from somebody else, and it tells me I'm not just a number, I'm a name. I'm unique, I have a mission. Each one of us is important. Each one of us is vital. We mustn't look at someone else and criticize. Instead, we must look at someone else and say, what can I do to help? We must look at everything in the world as God is talking to me. I must do whatever I can within my power, not worry about world power and not worry about different influencers, etc., but to say, I'm an influencer through my mitzvah, through my smile, through my name. I'll see another, I'll see his needs, and I'll do something about it, just as my teacher did, my teacher Moshe. Good Shabbos.